Good evening. This is Betty Bronner. I'm taping for Jewish Community Center Family History Project. And this evening, I have the pleasure of presenting Raymond Levy.
I am present.
Mr. Levy, would you please give us your name, your address, and if you care to, your phone number?
Please don't refer to me as Mr. Levy. My name is Raymond Marcus Levy. My address is 2536 Broadmead Road, Louisville, Kentucky, 40205. My phone number is 452-1263. Now, I have the easiest man in Louisville to get in touch with, so I've got several other numbers if you need those, but I'll refrain from doing that at this moment.
Oh, thank you very much. Mr. Levy, Raymond, would you tell us your birthday, and then let's talk about your parents and how your original antecedents came to the United States and where they came to.
Originally, well, first of all, what my birthday you want?
If you please.
All right. My birthday is July 21st, 1925. I'm a first generation American. My father, Isidore Levy, better known as Yitzhak Bershovsky Levy, he changed his name to Isidore because he was, there was a time where there was an outbreak of the cholera epidemic in Lithuania back around 1901 or 1902. And my father, in order to, there was an old Jewish custom that during an illness, in order to shy away the death, the angel of death, you change the name so you can go get somebody else.
That's great.
Now, my father was asked to leave this little stable in Lithuania called Vilna. Mm-hmm. And he was asked by the gendarmes, it often reminds me when I see Fiddler on the Roof about the Cossack or the man from the policeman coming in and telling Tevye, Tevye, we're going to have a little disturbance here tonight. It won't be too serious, but we just want to show them in the capital that we're taking care of things. My father got together with a bunch of boys. He was about 14 or 15 years old. And at that time, it was the very first beginning of some of the upheavals in Lithuania. These boys went out and absolutely blew up a train. Now, how 14, 15-year-olds can come about doing those things, it's something that I can't imagine. But my dad was about 14 or 15 at the time, as I said. And so the policeman came to my grandparents, Esther and Udell, and they suggested that Isidore, or Yitzhak at that time, leave as soon as possible, like now. And so Dad left Vilna about 1908 or 1909, because it was during the Roosevelt administration, Teddy Roosevelt's administration. And he arrived in New York and came directly to Columbus, Ohio to an aunt and uncle.
Do you know their names?
I believe, I'm not sure, but I think the last name of the uncle was Desney or something of that name. Yes, was that it, Betty?
I think so.
Okay. But anyway, Desney, and my father stayed around Columbus for a while.
And what did he do there?
I don't know what he did there, but then he came on to, came down to Kentucky because he had family in Mount Sterling also, the Markovskys, which became Bush Macy's family. And Markovsky was a brother or
sister.
Or Markovsky's wife was Esther Desnett's sister. And so my father came on to Mount Sterling, Kentucky. And this, as I said, was about 1906. And Dad rode, he started working and buying furs and stuff like that. And as a trader, he used to ride up in the mountains of eastern Kentucky, buying furs and ginseng. Ginseng was a very, as it is today, a very important herb, a root, and very expensive. And they made, they shipped it to China for to be used for medicinal purposes. And it was very popular in that day. But then Father went, I mean my dad, I don't call him Father, my dad went on to in around Mount Sterling, Winchester, Richmond, Kentucky. He got over to Lexington a little bit, but not much. He really stayed around Richmond, Mount Sterling, and Winchester. And for some reason or another, he went back home about 1912 or 1913. At the outbreak of World War I and in Europe, and he proceeded to get his brother, both brothers, and the grandparents sent them on back to America. They got back here sometime around, I think about 1914 or 1915, and so my dad had Uncle Nat, that's Betty's father, and Uncle Chaim. And Uncle Chaim was a little boy about 4, 5, or 6, maybe 8, but no more than that. And one thing that got my dad, I think, to come back, one thing that got my dad to come on back to the United States is that my grandfather had a lumber yard, as I understand, in Vilna or in Kovna.
Vilna.
Vilna, I believe. And there was a great fire in Vilna. And my father took his younger brothers and sisters, and they all walked on a frozen river, across a frozen river, and kept on going to Kovna. And you used to ask Uncle Nat where you were from. Uncle Nat would always say, well, I'm Kovna, from Kovna. Well, really, it was from Vilna, but it went to Kovna, because my father took he, and there was another youngster that they had tagging along with them. And it's strange, because Uncle Nat ran into this man sometime in the early 1950s down in Florida. And they started talking, and the man says to Uncle Nat, he says, do you remember the fire in Vilna in 19 such and such? And Uncle Nat says, yes. He says, I'll never. And then the man said to Uncle Nat, there was a big boy with two little smaller boys with him, and he took me by the hand and brought me on with them across that river and on to Kovna to safety. And Uncle Nat just went ecstatic when he said, well, I was one of the little boys. And the man says, well, believe it or not, I was the little boy that tagged along with y'all. So that was a very touching story, and I always remember that. But getting back to, I was very fortunate. Being, I guess, the eldest in our family of the first generations here. Yeah. I am the eldest of all cousins, and of course the first one born to my mother and dad. And so, naturally, I've got a brother and a sister. I've got a sister, Anita, Anita Fields, and she lives in Boston now, and my brother Alan, who lives down in Florida. And but nevertheless, getting back to the story, to go on with it, I was very fortunate that I actually knew both of my grandparents, Esther and Udell. Of course, fortunately enough, I still had my grandfather, my mother's father, because I was named for my grandmother, my mother's father. And but back to being the eldest, I knew Esther and Udell, and I used to remember this old uncle that would come down from Columbus that looked after my father and looked after Uncle Nat. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Uncle Nat, when he first came here, they dropped him off in Columbus, Ohio for a year or two because he went to high school there, or went to school there, and they saw that he had an education. Oh, I forgot to tell you also, that old uncle that was in Columbus, he was in prison up there, happened to be the prison chaplain. That was a very funny thing because when the story is told, I thought, oh my God, we had a family member that was a jailbird. Well, really he wasn't. He was a volunteer chaplain from the Jewish community in Columbus. And at that time, apparently, there were quite a few Jews in prison there for some reason or another, for one thing or the other. Nevertheless, we all grew up. I was very pleased that I knew I had uncles and aunts on both sides of my family, and enjoyed a very nice childhood in Lexington, and different things of that nature. My dad, when he went on to Lexington, he was in the live poultry business, and chickens, he used to ship chickens. He would collect them up from the different small dealers out in the small communities and put all together a freight car load, which was very similar to cattle cars, but you had to have a man to ride on the car with them. And that was one of the jobs Uncle Nat had.
And what was your Uncle Nat's last name?
Oh, Uncle Nat Levy. Uncle Nachum Levy. Yeah. That was Uncle Nat Levy. And then Uncle Hyman, he followed along in the with the chickens also. And they all had the pleasure of riding chicken cars, even my father, riding them to New York and different things. And so they got to see the countryside and the big town, in good times and bad times. And finally, Uncle Nat, met this young lady at the University of Kentucky, Irma. And of course, once he met Irma, well, that's all it was. Uncle Nat rides chicken cars. He didn't do that anymore. And it was often told in the family. My father had a nickname for my Aunt Irma, Hoodoo. And it's not Hoodoo this and Hoodoo that. It's because she put a curse on a carload of chickens one time. That Uncle Nat, she didn't want Uncle Nat to leave town. And she says, I hope the daggone things die. And lo and behold, they got sick and they died. Not the whole carload, but didn't have very much left when they got to New York. Now.
And so what brought you to Louisville?
What brought me? It was a necessity of having to do something other than being in the forstunken chicken business. Didn't want to be in the chicken business. And I needed to, I had a wife that was about 8 months pregnant, and I had to pick up and bring here to Louisville against fighting all the way. Gonna leave her friends in Louisville, in Lexington. Well, we came on to Lexington, to Louisville. I must say it's been very pleasant, sometimes tough, but other times, for the most part, very, very pleasant. And my association with my uncle for about 24 years was was a real pleasure. Had good times, bad times, but it was altogether was a real pleasure. And my cousin Bobby, my wife's name, I forgot all about that. What is your name, Dolores?
Shut up, Raymond.
Shut up, Raymond. That's your name. That's always the case. Shut up, Raymond. My wife is Dolores Shakin. Now, Dolores Shakin came from Greensburg, Kentucky, and came to the University of Kentucky in 1945. And I forgot to tell you that in 1943 I joined up in the with the Navy. And of course I had my trips overseas and on ships and this and that and the other. But my Aunt Irma helped me get in the Navy because I had bad eyesight when I wanted to volunteer. And they wouldn't take me because of my eyesight. And Aunt Irma took me to Dr. Leggett and we got carrot juice. And about 3 months on carrot juice, boy, my eyesight sure improved. And so that's a commercial for carrot juice. But when I came home from the Navy finally and was discharged on April the 26th, 1946, I got back to Louisville on April the 27th, walked in the house. My mama says, "Hello, darling." She hadn't seen me for 13 or 14 months. "Hello, darling," this and that and the other. "Have I got a girl for you?" Boy, Schlecht is married.
That's right.
And here comes Dolores. But nevertheless, Dolores and I, after off again, on again, courtship for about 4 years, we decided to get married. And then we had a little problem along the way, but that's all right. We overcame all that stuff. The Dolores got sick and we couldn't get married when we wanted to, and she was sick for about 18 months, but everything turned out all right. And here we are.
That's like pizza. I went crazy.
Oh, she's a bug house. It was because she had a little, wasn't a social disease. I can't say that. It was, she had tuberculosis, and it's a strange thing, about 3 months before that, five months before that, I got polio on my 24th birthday. That was a lot of fun.
And that was after you came home from the Navy?
Oh, after I came home from the Navy, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Where had you been in the Navy?
Oh, I started out up in Great Lakes, Illinois, and boot camp, and then went down to Gulfport, Mississippi for gunnery training. Now, remind you that I had all this eye trouble, and damn if they didn't make a gunner made out of me. And that shows you how screwed up the military was, and it's remarkable that we won the war. But I figured after I got in, everything was going to be cool. From Gulfport, we went down to New Orleans and caught our ships, and by a stroke of fate, I begged to get on board one ship, the John A. Johnson, with a bunch of my friends, and they wouldn't see the people that gave out their assignments wouldn't let me do that. They wanted me to be on a certain ship with another bunch, and that I got on with. And unfortunately, that autumn, the John A. Johnson got torpedoed in the South Pacific, and all my friends, they all went down with the ship as the Japanese sub surfaced and strafed them all. So that's another story of life. But it just shows you maybe I'm living a charmed life and don't realize it after all these ups and downs and everything like that. Betty had asked where all did I go in the South. Well, I went out of New Orleans to Cuba. We stayed around Cuba for about a week, and then we caught another convoy from Cuba to Panama, and lo and behold, one evening at dusk, we were fired on by a German sub, and luckily enough, they missed us and hit another ship. But that's just the irony of
war.
Thing, and the irony of war. And so we proceeded on through the Panama Canal, and then we were on our own, and I was on my way to New Guinea. And this was in about February 1944. And we got on down the line, rode down the coast of South America before we took off across the Pacific. And we were on, and we were traveled by ourselves until we picked up a convoy. Just when we got over to the, off the coast of New Zealand, and then we went on into New Guinea, and then we traveled around there, and the invasion of the Admiralty Islands and stuff like that. All fun and games, that's all. People shooting at each other.
Were you around Iwo Jima?
No. Iwo Jima was another, I was up near Iwo Jima. Went to Okinawa.
Okinawa.
I bypassed Iwo Jima and went to Okinawa. I had come back to the States before I got on another ship and got into the amphibious force. But I made a mistake and got a promotion. And that caused me nothing but trouble after that, because I had to look after other people then.
And what did you do in the amphibious force?
I was in a repair unit and running little small boats there to run up on the beaches. And I didn't have to run any troops up on any beaches, but we were preparing for that, for the big thing off of Okinawa, of course, when the war ended. I was on Okinawa when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And nevertheless, that's, I have to say that that 33, 34 months in the Navy was just, you know, you look back on the years from 18 to 21, and you think to yourself, gosh, these are great times and great, the best years of my life. These were some of the best years of my life. I've had other great years of my life with my children and with my wonderful bride, Dolores Ruth. And but I have enjoyed life here in Louisville. Of course, it's needless to say, it was awful nice having Bob and Betty, and as Betty and I have been brother and sister. I never looked on it as any other way, but all these years. But nevertheless, that's about the story. Now, my childhood friends in Lexington, not many of them do I see much more. There is one, the best man in our wedding, and I was the best man in theirs, is Manuel and Deborah Singer, and of course they've come back to Louisville, and occasionally I'll talk to them or see them, but I really don't see them as, because we've made a different life here in Louisville. And I've tried to have them involved into it, but it doesn't always work out that way. It's strange, you make new friends. I'm often reminded about and that's the way it is. We go back to Lexington, as you would imagine, every once in a while. I don't get to Lexington maybe 2-3 times a year, and it's mainly because we still have family over there. Uncle Hyam's son, Earl, and his wife, Sarah Ann, and of course we're very attached, and Pauline, of course, which was Uncle Hyam's wife. Strangely enough, she was also my mother's. Her father was my mother's cousin. But you're playing with this gizmo here, and is giving back.
I don't know why it's doing back, that.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll have to keep on going here. Going back to my life as a child in Lexington, of course, my mother, Betty, and her real name was Rebecca. And my Uncle Bob.
What was her last name?
Kravitz. K-R-A-V-E-T-Z. And we had a nice family relationship in Lexington. I had my Aunt Tanya and her two daughters, Jean and Irene, and Jean and I were always very close. We always. And who? I'm sorry.
His husband,
of course. course, Uncle Nathan. Uncle Nathan looked after, made sure that I stayed in clothes all the time. And had a little store over in Winchester, a little man store over in Winchester, and that was fun. We'd go over there all the time. And my dad take me along on the chicken trucks and turkey trucks with him and everything. And I always had to stop off at Antipolis. That was Antinous, Yiddish name as far as my father was. Always called it Tiba this and Tiba that. And nevertheless, but my mother and my mother's brothers. And then finally Aunt Sarah came back to Lexington after her husband, Uncle John. Aunt Sarah Mickler. And that was mother's older sister. Or Aunt Sarah was actually mother's sister, and she was a little bit older than mother.
Was she related to the Micklers here in Louisville?
She was indeed. She was related to the Micklers here. Her husband and Eddie Mickler were brothers. And Eddie had two children. And Eddie's wife, Lily. Well, Lily was a cousin. And I mean, this is the way life was in the old days among the Jewish people. This one had a cousin, and that one had a cousin, and I want you to meet my cousin, this and my cousin, that next thing you know, they've been married. Now, not cousins actually marrying cousins, but the cousins related, had an in-between cousin that was related on one side and they were related on the other. But nevertheless, when Aunt Sarah's husband, Uncle John, passed away, they had lived in Providence and went out to Tucson, Arizona. And that's where Uncle John passed away, and Aunt Sarah brought back her son, Bobby, and daughters, Sylvia and Margie. And of course, now Margie and Sylvia both are gone, as Aunt Sarah. And it's odd that my mother and Aunt Sarah got sick during the same year and passed away within 2 weeks of each other. Naturally, don't go on with it, Betty. I need to digress a bit because let you know something about my mother. Of course, I spoke most everything about my father, but it's just recent, within the last 3 or 4 years, that I've really got some background on my great-grandparents. And my mother's maiden name, as I said, was Kravitz, and her father's name was Burl Kravitz, and we call him Barry. And that's where I got the middle name from my eldest son, Udell Barry. But getting back to my mother's family, she had two brothers and a sister, Robert and Louis Kravitz, and Sarah. And in Lexington, we had our great uncle, David Ades, and his family. Beg your pardon? I'm sorry.
Give your parents and how many sisters and brothers they had, your grandparents.
My sister, I'm sorry.
How about your mother's mother? What was her name?
Her name was Rose. And my grandmother passed away. She was Rose Ades. And she passed away in 1911 at the ripe old age of 50. And she had several brothers. She was one of seven children. And she had, as I recall, three brothers, Simon, Ades. And then our second child, Michael, was born in 1958. And September the 1st, and on the day of his grandmother's birthday, his grandmother, Eugenia, or Sis Shaken, and Michael is married to Sue Daniels, and she's from Dayton. They met in college, just like his mother and dad did, only he got on through the college. And his dad's still struggling. I'm still struggling through college in my alter yore. And Sue and Michael got married in 1981, a little over 10 years ago. And they've got a son, Yaakov Eliyahu Levi. And his name is Jacob, Jacob Edward Levi. He's named for great-grandfather on one side, and a grandfather. His grandfather and his great-grandfather. And Eliyahu was my father-in-law, Dolores' father. And then we have, along came 1967, surprise! Here is Ira Richard Levy.
He's so big.
My father passed away in 1966. And 1 year later, Richard was born. And Richard is now in his seventh year in a four-year course in college. And but Richard, he has enjoyed life to its fullest. He got to do everything a young man would want to do in school, and in high school, grade school, high school. He was on the basketball, he was on the starting basketball team of his high school. He traveled with the Jewish Community Center all over the United States, and believe it or not, they even went to Israel to play basketball in the summer of 1985 or 86.
And was that a special group of games?
That was a was nothing special. It was just that, hold on, cut me off there. I want to talk about my son Mike, because who was born, as I said, in 1958. Michael is an attorney, and Sue, when they married, she started teaching school, and she's been a school marm off and on. Now, but so when Jacob was born, well, she quit, and now she started back again, thank goodness. And Sue went on to get advanced degrees in education, and Michael got an advanced degree, and he too is an attorney. So now I got not only two sons and a daughter-in-law that are attorney, but I got me a school marm. And then I got that one son that he's still in college. Bless his heart, but he's sticking to it, though. Keeps pecking away at it all the time. Now he's become manager of a restaurant and everything like that. So just life keeps going right along. And Jacob is going to have a little brother or sister sometime, good Lord willing, in March. And a little cousin sometime right in the 1st of January. So we'll see what all this life has in store for us. And it's been good. It was suggested that I talk about Dolores and I when we first came to Louisville. We came to Louisville and we lived at 1921 Roanoke, was that it? Something like that. And that's where Dell was born. And I had the very good fortune of having a first cousin of my mother's living in the same building. Lewis and Sophie Margolis. And Lewis was a son of Toby, whom I mentioned back there, my grandmother's sister's son, Toby. And that's whose granddaughter is coming here this weekend. But nevertheless, getting back to that, Dolores and I started getting involved. We had the good fortune of having good friends across the street from us. That we met when we first came to Louisville, and Albert and Edith Shirley Spivak. Now Albert, I was showing, he's gone. But we progressed, and I went in. My uncle took me into the real estate business. Uncle Nat took me into the real estate business, and I stayed with him until he passed on in 1980. Mercy sakes alive. over almost 11, over 11 years. And nevertheless, I enjoyed that relationship. Learned a lot. Should have listened a little bit more, maybe. But learned an awful lot. And had a nice relationship with he and Bob and my cousin Bobby. And we had another associate in the office, Ben Kaplan. That was another case. Now, Ben Kaplan used to chomp, chew, and chomp on cigars and chew tobacco. Yeah. And, but nevertheless, he broke Bobby and I into smoking cigars. And we gave Ben a good going away present at the time. We wanted to make sure that he went on his ride with a couple of cigars in his pocket. And we got Sonny Myers to put those cigars in there. Not Sonny didn't do it, Shirley did it. His man had looked after the funeral home with him.
And was there a story about when you and Bob went to appraise or buy?
Bobby started me in the appraisal business, and we went down to appraise a funeral home one time, and he wouldn't do. We went into this funeral home and in the display room of caskets. I went out of the room for a minute and looked around the rest of the place, and Bobby climbs up in there. I come back and he's got a cigar sticking up out of his out of his mouth, and he's going, oh, oh. And I thought he'd done lost his cotton pick in mind. I told him, I'm gonna tear up that casket, we're gonna have to pay for some before we got out of there. But nevertheless, that was just the land. But we had Bobby and I always had a good time doing silly things. And that's another story. But
keep quit saying.
I was a realtor, I was a real estate broker, an agent, what have you. And then went on from there, passed away. Of course, I went on to Paul Simley Company. I stayed there for 11 years up until 2 months ago, and took off because I've been working for Bank of Louisville. I was very fortunate at my age to get a job doing appraisals about 5-6 years ago. And I've held on that job ever since, and it seems like I can't get loose from the work now. And it's been an enjoyable, 35, going on 36 years right here in Louisville. Okay. It was suggested that I talk about our involvement with divorces and my involvement with the synagogue for about 20 years. I ended up being on the board of directors at Adage Assurance. Dolores was very active in the sisterhood, and she was an officer in the sisterhood. And I sang in the choir for about 15, 16 years. I was instrumental in hiring Kenneth Portnoy, who is now our housing at Adage Assurance. It's very unusual, a Yale graduate. His wife later became an eye specialist, an ophthalmologist. They turn out to be all right people, and we enjoyed the synagogue extremely a lot. Our boys knew what going to shul meant, and their involvement in the shul now. Slowly becoming involved in the shul. And they attended the religious services about every Shabbos. And we, Dolores and I, started doing the Birkat HaMazon. And
Bar Mitzvahs.
And doing the Birkat HaMazon, I think by the time the kids were almost infants. And after every meal, and we really became very much involved in the synagogue. And the Morris's parents, I guess, were very much involved in their synagogue at Knesset Israel. And I guess some of that spilled over into our lives. But I chose Adage Assurance primarily because of Kenneth Pernick, who was the Hazan at the time, when we first came here, and right after I lost my mother blind, I really got involved with the synagogue and into the choir, and even with Rabbi Gilman on Shulman and all those things. Richard later went on to, as our baby boys decided he wasn't going to have to go to the Hebrew school in the afternoons like the other boys. So Richard grew up in the Jewish Community Center. As everyone knows, that was his second home because he went to the Jewish day school in Africa, which was located at the center. And after school was out, while Richard just hung around that gym, and he became a fixture there. And now, of course, he's very active there at the center in athletics. Everybody wants Richard on the team. Now, the all three boys were bar mitzvah at Adat Yeshurun, and they read from the Torah and did the Haftorah complete. They're able to conduct the services. And I'm very proud of them because those are things that I can't do. But I guess that's the nice thing about seeing things like that. And those kids, they're not the worst ward right now. And they thought, oh God, why do I have to keep doing this all the time? Y'all worry us to death. Well, I'm glad we did it. Yeah, the Lord did that, not me. And nothing else that I can really say. Is there something else I need to talk about? I'm ready to cut off, really, but I mean, that's beside the point. It was suggested that perhaps I talk a little bit about, that I reminisce a little bit about how I've seen Louisville change over the past 35 years. Remember that when we came here in 1956, the Jewish Community Center, I think, just opened up out on Dutchman's Lane. And we've watched the involvement of the shuls moving out from downtown, Anshul Safarin moving out on Dutchman's Lane. We've seen Adat Yeshurun moving from Brooklyn College, Knesset Israel, where we got married. Dolores and I have to say, Dolores and I got married at Adat Yeshurun, at Knesset Israel, and my goodness, what year was that? Oh, November the 4th, 1951. Now guess what's going to happen if we both make it until next Monday? We will have been married for 40 years. And that's pretty unique.
Sure is tough.
It sure is. You can say that again. You can say that again. Sure is tough, but nevertheless, we've seen the downtown area. Uncle Nat's office used to be at 320 South 6th Street. Uncle Nat's office, it was his office, and my office, and Bob's office, and Ben Kaplan's office, and old man Bill Coulter's office. All of us were in the same office. But we've seen that place become now the Hall of Justice, and we've seen the changes in the downtown area. It died. It was going to turn to dust. That with the urban renewal moved us three times. Moved us from 320 South 6th Street up to the second floor over 320 South 6th Street. From there over to the Realty building, and Bobby and Uncle Nat and Ben and I supervised the building of the Citizens Fidelity Plaza until they got past the ninth floor. Then we kind of had to look up high every day. But nevertheless, we've seen those changes and the way the downtown area, the coming of the Galleria, which is good and bad. I've still got to make some motions should that have ever happened. We've seen the development along the riverfront. I saw, and I'm very proud as I go around and I see some of the things that I've done myself with the development of Philip Morris, a tobacco company down at 18th and Broadway, how they were able to, they stayed in place because we were able to find more land and I bought land for them. I drive around the expressways around town here, and Bobby had a very good friend, Roger Fox, that gave me a job as a buyer on the right-of-way, in the right-of-way division at the highway department. And that job was a wonderful job that I had in 1960, along with my regular real estate business with Uncle Ned. But I go out and down the West End on any night of the week and on the weekends and buying the right-of-way along the river's side parkway, or which is called Interstate 64, of course, part of that section, downtown area. Then when we bought the right-of-way from the Sherman Minden Bridge, we watched it. Bobby and I even go back to the construction of the Sherman Minden Bridge, which was opened about 1956, right when I came here to Louisville. And bought right away from there all the way down to Algonquin Parkway along the Shawnee Parkway or Shawnee Expressway. And I look at St. Anthony's Hospital, how they were able to get their parking lots and things of that nature. A good client that Uncle Nat introduced me to was B.B. Cook, buying up land for he. And I'm very proud of the fact of land for B.B. Cook that he donated to the Baptist Towers, which is now on 2nd Street, and I drive by there and think to myself, goodness gracious, I bought the land for those people. And I look at the old Baptist Hospital now, which is now owned by the county, with county offices in it, and all the new parking lot that I helped them to acquire. There's so many things now. Life has gone on, and life has been good on a whole, and I have no regrets. I have a few, but regrets, I've had a few, too few to mention, and I don't want to go into song because I can't even remember all the words. But that's about it until unless Betty can think of something else, and I don't know what else I can say. I love to go to parties and be called on, and I see people around, somebody I call on a person, and they'll always give, well, I don't know what to say. But I really didn't know what to say when Betty asked me to start doing this little interview. My God, it's gone on for, do you realize it's gone on for almost an hour? And I could keep on rambling on.
Well, I think it's been a wonderful hour, and we thank you very much for sharing your recollections with us, Raymond. They've been wonderful. And I'm sure that your family, for many years to come, will enjoy listening. We thank you so much. This is Betty Bronner signing off.